November 8th, 2005. Item number 103. Today's guest is Bazooka Joe from the Small World Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Joe, a couple quick news and notes. First off, anytime during the show you want to leave us feedback, call 206-666-4357. That's 206-666-HELP. In addition, you can also send email to podcast411@gmail.com. It's been a while since I've mentioned this site, but I saw a question come up on the Yahoo group, and I thought I would mention it again, and that's the Free Sounds Project. So if you're looking for free use sounds that are not copyrighted, that you can use on your podcast, there's a site, it's called the Free Sounds Project, and it's at freesounds.iua.upf.edu. Don't worry, link will be in the show notes at podcast411.com. It is a great site to go to if you're looking for some sounds, you want to have a jackhammer or whatever type of sound you're looking for, birds, thunder, rain, you name it. There's almost 10,000 different sounds at that site. For those of you that are very astute, you'll realize that this show went up a day earlier than what I had originally said, and that's because I forgot on Wednesday the 9th, early in the morning, I'm getting on the plane to the Podcast Expo. I was thinking I had a little time in the morning to work and get it up, but it's actually not going to be the case. I have to get out of here real early. Now, at the expo, for those of you that'll be there, I'm going to try to get together a little late-night poker game. So anybody who's interested in playing some poker, as you know, that's my other passion besides podcasting, let me know. Send me an email to rob@podcast411.com if you're interested in playing. Well, that's going to do it for us. We're going to go ahead now and get into the interview with Joe from the Small World Podcast. The first part of which comes from the stint I did when I filled in for Adam Curry on Sirius Satellite back in August when he went on vacation for that one day. And then the second part of it is some recent questions I asked Joe regarding promotions of podcasts and making money with podcasts. And since this is Joe's second time on Podcast 411, the first time was for the Bazooka Joe show back in February, I believe. I did not ask him the traditional first question, if you're wondering where that went. But anyway, here we go with the interview. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Can you explain a little bit about your show, what your show is?
Well, very simply, what I do is that I talk to people from all walks of life, from all over the world, and that can be dentists, it can be musicians, it could be even drunken sandwich makers.
We have a clip here of one of your interviews. Can you set that up for us?
Sure. I went to go interview a friend of mine. She used to be a flame dancer, and I assumed that that's what we were going to talk about. But as we started talking to each other, I quickly found out that she did her first human dissection. And after that, I said, you know what? We have to talk about this. And that's what this clip is going to be about.
Okay, let's roll the clip.
Kate used to be what you would call a fire dancer, which means that she would dance with flame and spewing a flame and swallowing a flame. And I thought that would be a juicy topic to talk about. Well, the thing is, Kate, you're not a flame dancer anymore.
No, I'm not.
And why did you give up that occupation?
2 years ago, I burned myself pretty badly in a little party that I had in my living room and ended up spending 8 hours in the UCSD burn unit. I told myself at the beginning of my fire career, if I ever spent any time in the burn unit, I'd retire. So I retired.
That's what I was going to interview Kate about. But Kate, you're going to school to be a nurse. You're going to complete your education.
Yes. Yes, I am. EMT right now. Have been for the last, nine years. So decided I'm going to round it out, get a nursing degree.
So we sat down to talk. You were talking about your first dissection of a cat.
I was talking about my last dissection of a cat yesterday.
And you just went off. You just totally geeked out on dissection, and then you got onto the human body, and what did you do? I don't have the vocabulary, so you have to tell me.
Do you want the story of my first dissection?
Sure, let's hear it.
I had never dissected anything before I signed up for this cadaver lab. My first dissection, even before we got into the cats in my anatomy lecture class, was a 97-year-old male cadaver's face.
And tell us about the part that you... dissected.
Well, I went, you know, I did a mid-sagittal cut up his chin and around his orbicularis oris, around his lips, up to his nose, around the very edges of the nares, which is, you know, the nostril, and then up to the corner of his eye, and then right underneath his eye lid, the lower lid, out back lateral to the ear, and reflected that skin back and dissected all the adipose tissue. This guy put adipose fat tissue everywhere. So I had to clean off all the fat and then, you know, uncover all the muscles. It was actually a really gorgeous dissection when I got done with it. My first dissection class, I was very anxious. I was really shocked to see that they keep the cadavers in these big metal coffin-looking things unrefrigerated in the back room of the anatomy class. We helped roll out these big metal stretchers with, like, metal steel coffins, and, you know, just the anxiety of knowing that there's a dead human being underneath there that I'm going to be dissecting for the next 16 weeks. And they, you know, opened up the metal coffins and unzipped the body bags and unrolled the plastic and unrolled the sheets, and here were these people dead. The fumes are just overwhelming and burning your eyes and nose, and it was a little disturbing, but as it took about maybe 2 minutes or so before I was like, ooh, I want to see, let's open them up, let's check it out. But the interesting thing about that is that the things that humanized these dead bodies for me, that kind of wigged me out a little bit, were the hands.
Why the hands?
I don't know, they just were. You know, you see someone's hands and you can really see, I don't know, it's just very human. And we uncovered the female cadaver. The female still has, to this day, fuchsia pink fingernail polish on her fingernails and on her toenails. That was a little disturbing, and I did have a visceral reaction to that.
One of the things I found interesting in that clip was the fact that she was a fire dancer and an EMT. You'd think she'd know better.
Yeah, well, you know, she's a wild and crazy kid, but, you know, I really enjoy that interview because there's humor in it, and it's very visceral because she talks about the smell of human body, and if you actually download the rest of the show, you can actually hear her talking about touching the human body and what the adipose fatty tissue feels like. It was very intense.
Let's tell people where to locate your show.
Sure thing. All they have to do is go into the browser and type in www.smallworldpodcast.com, and it has every show I have done since February 23rd.
One of your shows recently reminded me of a cute little story, and I'll tell you the story, and you'll know which interview that was. Is a friend of mine was at one of these conventions, and it was a gamers convention, sci-fi, the whole thing. And he's in the elevator, he's in there with two other guys, and on walk two people dressed in goth outfits. They are on for a couple floors, they get off, and the two people next to my friend, one guy turns to the other guy and goes, man, some people are just so weird. And he looks over at them, and they're both dressed as Klingons.
Yeah, I did a show where I interviewed a Klingon, which I'm sure that you've heard that one.
Right, your July 27th show.
Right, and so I'm talking to him, and he was actually making fun of the people dressed up in the Enterprise uniforms, and I'm like, dude, you're dressed up as a Klingon.
Yeah, so it's all perspective, folks. You know, I do a lot of interviews, but for me, it's much easier. I mean, I have podcasts to listen to, so when I go into an interview, I'm prepped. I'm ready to go. You're interviewing these people blind. How do you do that? What's your secret?
Well, I don't do these shows blind anymore. When I started off, that's what I was going for, but I decided, well, I found out really quickly that if I want to do a very quick and concise show, I have to be on the ball. So I have about 5 questions I'm going to ask, and then after that, I will go off in different tangents. But no, they're actually kind of scripted ahead of time. I'm really looking forward to the shows I have coming up in the future. I'm going to be interviewing one of my favorite science fiction writers. His name is Ian M. Banks. He is huge in Europe, but he just can't seem to break the market in the U.S., but he's fantastic. I've also got an interview with one of my favorite musicians. His name is Stephen Kent. He plays the didgeridoo. And I'm going to be interviewing the producer of The Ghost of Bataan. It's about the Bataan Death March.
One of the questions I like to ask now is, what are you doing to generate revenue for your show? And I've noticed that you've added in some advertising. Care to talk about that a little bit?
The reason I started doing advertising was 2 reasons. And one, as I said, I did a interview with science fiction writer Scott McCloud, and he is in Scotland. He does not have Skype, and to accommodate him, I had to do it with my cell phone. Actually, I used the landline. It was a $53 phone bill, and I thought, you know what, I have to start finding ways to sort of reimburse the cost of doing this show.
And you're doing a daily show, so that can get real expensive real quick.
Oh, exactly. And I'm doing it more and more now. And a lot of people, they just don't want to deal with Skype, or they don't have the patience to download it. And they think it's rather a complex piece of software. And as you and I know, it's not. So I came to the conclusion, it's like I have to find some way to cover the expenses. So I started doing advertising. And the other reason why I decided to do it is I wanted to see if I could make a go of making this some sort of a livelihood, to make this into an occupation. So I'm giving myself a year with this two-pronged thing going on, which is, one, to cover the expense of doing this show, because I have to make the cell phone calls and this bandwidth. Second of all, I want to see if I can actually turn this into some sort of career. When I was talking to John Bischke from Learn Out Loud, I said, hey, you know what? You have this company that what you do is you're basically selling audio, and since I've already interviewed you, why don't you advertise on my show? And it was a little weird at first, because I wanted him to be clear that when I originally did the interview with him, there was no ulterior motive, that it was just to do the interview. It didn't occur to me afterwards. And another stroke of luck is there is another woman I interviewed. She has a shoe company called One Again. They make recycled shoes, shoes out of recycled materials.
Yeah, I heard that interview.
I'm going to start running her ad next week. And then there is a dating service out of L.A. called One Key Away, and I'm going to start running ads with them shortly as well. And another thing that's really worked
out... Now, how many ads are you going to run in a show? Are you going to limit it to two? How long are the ads going to be?
I'm trying to keep the ads down to 30 to 1 minute long, and at first I was just going to do one at the beginning, and I'm going to try one at the beginning and one at the end and leave it at that and see how that works. And another thing I wanted to tack on to the advertising thing for people who are starting off on podcast, or they've done the podcast for a while and they want to move forward, is to maybe select advertisers that really would work well with your show. Now, since I do an interview show, it would make sense for Learn Out Loud to advertise on my show, because their product is audio and it's educational materials. Now, Dave has got an excellent idea. I'm sure there's other people who are doing it, but Dave's Lounge, you go to his website. If you like his show, you know that you can go to his website and do a one-click and purchase the artists that are featured on his show through iTunes, which I think is a fantastic idea. I think moving forward, if people are thinking about advertising, again, another really good way to approach it is find advertisers that would complement your show. And another way to work it, which I find very interesting, is that it's really good to go after advertisers who have a web presence, because if you're podcasting out of, say, Missouri, you don't want to get an advertiser out of Boston, because it's not going to help the Boston listeners all that much, and it's not going to help the Missouri listeners. However, if you have an advertiser who has a web presence, well, it doesn't matter where in the world the person is listening to. All they have to do is go to the website, and boom, they can purchase the product. For example, for a while I was running an ad from Reinvented Software, and they're based out of London. But again, it doesn't matter if you're in Canada. It doesn't matter if you're in the U.S. or South America. You can purchase the software off the web from him.
There are a lot of social podcasting networks and even business podcasting networks that are popping up these days. What are your thoughts on these and how some people are reacting to them?
Well, I've been listening to Dave Schlusher's Evil Genius Chronicles. I've been a big fan for a long time. And he likes to go at it alone. He's very stubborn and determined that he doesn't want to have anything to do with corporate radio, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with podcast networks. And that's certainly his prerogative, and I understand where he's coming from. But as you no doubt have noticed yourself, is that your fellow podcasters, it's a tight-knit community, I've found. I've talked to these people. I've got a relationship with you. I've got a relationship with Eric from Vox Monitor. And I talk to Pete Dilly from Podcast Pickle on a frequent basis. I don't see the harm or the problem of having these social networks with your fellow podcasters. But again, this is David Schlusher's prerogative. This is the way he's decided to go. And, you know, more power to him, but I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a really good thing.
Outside of the podcasting community, what are you doing to promote your show?
There are several things that I do, and I feel kind of weird giving this away, but what the hell. I use Craigslist a lot. And
yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my approach in particular with Craigslist is that I have a list from 2002 of the most populated cities in the U.S., and then there's another list that is the most wired cities in the U.S. And between the two, I will go to those cities on Craigslist and submit my show if I think that it's going to be interesting to a lot of people. The tricky thing is they have filters, so I have to constantly reword the post.
I have four scripts. I have four different scripts in a Word document. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4. And I go through and once a week, and if you stagger them about a week apart, the filters don't catch them.
Ah, well, that's a new trick. Now, I use Craigslist a lot, but I do focus primarily on the major cities. Let's see, the largest cities would be New York, L.A., Chicago, Washington, D.C., and so forth and so on. But at the same time, I want to also promote the show in cities that are a bit smaller, but I think there would still be an interest, say, Madison, Wisconsin, for example. It's a fairly progressive city and with a white-collar working force, and so therefore there's a lot of people who would be listening on the Internet. That's an untapped audience right there.
Which category do you pick when you post your Craigslist posts?
I do them all in events.
In events, okay.
I just figured that people are periodically going through the list, looking for something to do on a particular day, and I think that would be the best shot. Because I don't want to go the community route, because that's too narrow, so I just go for events. Now, another thing that I'm doing, that I just started, actually, is Indie Media, and they have sites all over the world. So what I do now is anytime I have a show that would be related to Indie Media that would reflect their interests, then I will promote the show there, and I will put up a synopsis of the show and, of course, put a link to the show. So, for example, I interviewed Ben Marble. Ben Marble is the man who told Dick Cheney to go F himself on national TV, and that's something that's right up Indie Media's alley. I submitted that show to probably about 10 different indie media sites. Again, I used my list of the most wired cities and the most populated cities in the U.S. Another thing I've been doing is I've been making some flyers, and I just go to Kinko's and print out about 100 of them and then cut them up so at the end of it I have 400. And I hit various cafes because cafes these days, they all have Wi-Fi. And they usually have a table or a section where you can post your flyers. So that's what I've been doing, is I'll go to about half dozen cafes that are very popular and have Wi-Fi and leave my flyers there. Finally, the other thing that I do is that there are several message boards that I belong to. Once again, if I have a topic that I think is relevant to that particular message board, then I will say, hey, I've got this show. For example, I interviewed Regina Lynn, who is the sex tech columnist for Wired.com, and she happens to run a message board about all things sex and tech. So on the real rare occasions that I have something that's related to that...
That sounds like a forum board where they talk a lot about rechargeable batteries, but I digress.
You're not too far removed from the point there. If that's something that's related to her news group, then I will submit it, or if I interview a musician who's involved in electronica, same thing, I'll go to some of the electronica message board and say, hey, I've interviewed musician XYZ and they do electronica, here's the link.
Your podcast is about interviewing other people. So what advice would you like to offer out to those that are going to be interviewing people for their podcast, and even more specifically touch on where to find some people, where you find your guests?
One of the ways I've been finding people to interview is that there are two news services that I've started using, and one is called the PR News Service, and that's how I found about Space Adventures when I interviewed them. And another one I'm using is based out of San Diego, and I'm using it as a trial basis. It's called Flash Newswire, and they offer a service for news that's a little quirky. And to give you an idea of how quirky it can get, television shows like The Daily Show or The Tonight Show or The Late Night Show, when they do the little news bits or bring on some guests, chances are they've got it from Flash Newswire. And some of the people I'm going to be interviewing in the near future, for example, would be this woman. She has written a book called The Gospel According to Oprah. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And there is a...
Too much time on my hands. Sorry.
There is also a hair technician out of Florida, and he has put out a press release where he wants to help Chief Justice John Roberts with his hair, because apparently he's going bald, and he specializes in hair transplants and toupees.
Do you have his number?
The guy in Florida? I do indeed have his phone number. So I've been getting a wealth of contacts just in the 4 days of my trial basis so far.
Is this a service you have to pay for to use? And
that's right. And this one's working out so well that I'm actually considering purchasing it. I don't know what the cost is. I'm going to see if they have a sliding scale because I'm certainly not NBC or ABC. But it is a fantastic service. But just using the trial membership has been fantastic.
Joe, thanks for being on the show again.
Rob, as always, it's a pleasure, and I continue to listen to your show every week.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Joe from the Small World Podcast. Please check out Joe's podcast at smallworldpodcast.com. Great podcast. Joe, thanks so much for being on the show again. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to be playing a promo from the Coloring Outside the Lines podcast. This is a podcast dealing with body painting and body art. Kevin has become a good friend of Podcast 411 recently, and I'd like you to stick around and listen to that. Real interesting, at the expo, Kevin will be painting none other than Soccer Girl. So Kevin, you dog, we all in the podcasting world are very jealous of you. And then after the promo, we'll play some feedback. This one comes from Michael from Mikey Pod on the Bayou. If you have some feedback you'd like to leave us, don't forget, 206-666-HELP. That's 206-666-4357. Or you can send feedback to podcast411@gmail.com. Finally, on our forum boards, I had to change it, where if you were leaving comments and feedback after one of the show notes, I was allowing just guests to leave any feedback. But the Russians found me and spammed me hard. And they're so audacious about the spamming. Literally, the title of a couple of the spams were Test Forum Spam. Doesn't get any more blunt than that. Well, anyway, I've changed it now. You have to be a registered user to leave feedback on the forum board. But please come over, use the forum boards, give me your feedback, ask questions, and contribute to the community. Well, our next podcast will go up on Wednesday, November 16th, after the Podcast Expo. Please come back then. Until the next time, this is your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Do you find the human form to be beautiful, creative, a work of art? Then you must agree with me that it definitely needs a coat of paint. Hi, I'm Kevin Mason from Coloring Outside the Lines. I'm a professional body painter, which means I have a very unique look on life and art.
Okay, enough of the hype. You know, my last podcast, I was talking about being real. And, well, this promo is going to be real. And it's about my art and my life. Because you know something? They're one and the same. So exactly how do you request time off because you're going to paint on naked people? I warned him. I told him 3 times that paint was scratchy and tasted bad. Did he listen to me? No. Okay, back to the hype.
Color me bold. Color me beautiful. Just color outside of my lines. www.thepaintedbody.com.
Hey Rob, it's Michael Heron from Mikey Pod on the Bayou. That's MikeyPod.com. I always have to throw that little plug in. I was just listening to your podcast with Jeff, I believe it was, and I really enjoyed listening to your interview with a podcast listener. It was really, it was informative, and I learned so much from listening to your show, and I'm so proud to say that I've been doing my tags correctly ever since I started because I learned how from the master, Rob. Thanks so much for your show, and I'll talk to you soon.